Well, praise the Lord and welcome on this beautiful Easter Sunday. It would have been a little better if yesterday's weather was today, but we take what we get. So happy to see all of you here. And I mean that when I say that. We hope by next year, by the end of this year, to be breaking ground on a new sanctuary. And one of the things that we're excited about in that is we're going to put a sensory room in. We've got a lot of children that are on the spectrum or autistic, and that's something we really want to do. And we're fortunate to have, I don't know if Carol's in here or not. Is she in here? Carol Blind, she has her PhD in children with autism, and she works with these kids for us and does such a great job. And we're fortunate to have someone like her. And then, of course, it'd be nice to have a little more room. So we don't want you to be discouraged by if it's tight, just give us time. We want to make room for you. Amen. That's our only ambition and goal. I'll get right into my message today. If you want to open up your Bible, if you have one, if not, they'll put it up on the screen. The book of John, chapter 19, verse 30. I understand this is affectionately dubbed Resurrection Sunday, but as far as I'm concerned, you cannot separate the cross and the resurrection. You cannot have a resurrection without a cross. Amen. You cannot be born again without death. John 19 and 30 says, "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost," which means his spirit left his body. I would like to, and I'll try not to keep you long, I want to preach to you this morning on this Easter Sunday on this topic, "This is where it stops." This is where it stops. Someone praying for us? Go ahead and pray for us, Matthew.
Precious Jesus, Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. God, all that you're going to do, Lord. God, we pray over Pastor as he brings forth the word this morning. God, on this Resurrection Sunday, God, may each and every one of us, Lord, just come in here, Lord, with an open heart, an open mind, and an open spirit, Lord. God, to receive your word. God, to receive, Lord, whatever it is you have for us today, Lord. And as he brings forth the word, God, may you speak through him and use him as a vessel that he's willing to be this morning, God. Lord, for the expansion of your kingdom, God, be with the children next door. God, Lord, just minister to them today, Lord. Minister to each and every person that's here, and God, to those that have tuned in online. Lord, we love you and we thank you for all that you've done. God, and all that you are going to do. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Thanks for standing. We stand a lot around here. I do hope that when you leave here today, not only do you feel strongly encouraged, but that you have a great time with your family and you don't let anything take that moment and that day from you. Amen. Those words that Jesus said, "It is finished," I would present a question to you today if you've never thought about it. What exactly was finished? What did he mean when he said, "It is finished"? I would answer you by saying he was saying to us that the debt is paid. What he had set out to do at Calvary was done. And then you may say, "Well, debt, what debt? What does that mean?" Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm going to read some scriptures to you and narrate a few others because I want to paint a very clear picture. It's important from my perspective that we understand the debt that we bear as individuals, as human beings. You cannot understand or value mercy unless you understand the weight of debt. So Isaiah 53 and 5, it reads, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our wickedness." And I am reading the Amplified. I forgot to tell you that. "Our wickedness would be defined as our sin, injustice, or wrongdoing. The punishment which is required for our well-being fell upon him, and by his stripes or his wounds, we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned each one to his own way, but the Lord has caused the wickedness of us all, which is our sin and injustice, to fall upon him instead of us. 1 Peter 2:24 mirrors that text. It says, he personally carried our sin in his body on the cross, willingly offering himself so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. For by his wounds you have been healed. A little heavy for an Easter Sunday. But as I said, and I'll say a few other times throughout the day, there is no understanding of mercy or the cross until there's an understanding of the weight of sin. They go hand in hand. One came about because of the other. And so the question that we would all ask ourselves today, or I would hope you would ask yourself, is, am I a sinner? Some people would immediately go and talk about the good things they do in life. Some would talk about the wrong that they don't do. Well, I don't do what others do, and I've never stolen from somebody. And I have never unjustly hurt somebody, or I have never done some of the horrible crimes or the sin that we see around our world. But according to the scripture, we are all sinners. In America, we have learned to weigh sin and determine what is acceptable and what isn't. Just recently heard last night in Florida, there was a 22-year-old man that was arrested for beating a 25-year-old man to death with a baseball bat because that man was a sexual offender. And he said, I just wanted to do it. And that, to me, it mirrored the spirit in America that we determine who deserves justice and who doesn't. And we feel as if we have a right to administer justice. And certainly when I have never committed a sin to that level, then I have a right to administer that justice. But according to the scripture, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so, again, to understand the gravity of sin, we must understand the value of the cross. Psalms 51 and 5 answers the question, am I a sinner? It says, I was brought forth in sin, or a state of wickedness. In sin, my mother conceived me. From the beginning, I was too sinful. That doesn't mean that the conception was sinful. That means the moment I was conceived, I was bathed in sin because of the world. Sin began with Adam and Eve. They sinned against God by disobeying his word. It continued up to the flood when the Bible says that the sin and the wickedness of the world had spread across the globe, and God decided he was going to clean up that mess and start all over again. But immediately after the flood, sin started all over again. Sin is an unfortunate part of our DNA, whether we like it or not, it is. We are born in sin and shapen in iniquity. God told Noah that he would never curse the ground again because of man's sin. Why? He said, because man's intent, their inclination of the man's heart, is wicked from his youth. God spoke something after the flood that he didn't speak before the flood. It's as if God had a revelation of humanity, because God is not human and cannot grasp all of humanity. That's why Christ came. And God said, I'm not going to do this again, because now I'm narrating, understand that men were wicked from their youth. The moment we step into this world and the moment we become knowledgeable of right and wrong is the moment we become accountable for our actions or our sin. Sin is not just something that you do, but sin is also defined as things you don't do. In America, there are laws that if you see things happen and you are able to intervene and don't, it's very possible that you could also be charged because you stood by and watched it. In a biblical term, the Bible says if we know to do right but don't do it, it becomes sin. And this is very important for me to paint a fair message to you that we cannot just look at certain levels of sin or certain crimes against humanity and consider them the sinners. Because we are all sinners. It's in our nature. We don't like it. We would like to do better. I won't bore you with all the details. Paul said, when I would do good, he said, I wind up doing evil. And when I wouldn't do evil, I wind up doing it anyway. Why? Because Paul understood that there are things in our lives that are just out of our control. All sin condemns us. That's what sin does. Let me read, and I'm not going to put these on the screen. Genesis 8 and 21 says, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. That means sin is not learned. It's natural. Jeremiah 17 and 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That means it is an internal issue. Ecclesiastes 7 and 20 says, for there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There's not one. That means no one escapes this condition on our own. Romans 3 and 10 says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. That means we have a universal problem. Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not some, not certain people, not certain groups, not certain crimes, but all. This is important because if we don't understand the biblical approach to sin and to our nature, then we will unjustly deceive ourselves into thinking that I'm not a sinner. He is, and she might be. But I'm not, because I live a good life. But a good life does nothing to do with a sinful life. And then Romans 6 and 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, because sin always exacts a cost. There is no escaping the cost of sin. We, of our own accord, cannot do anything to relieve ourselves from the confines of our flesh and of our actions. We cannot do it. And so before the cross, we were all guilty. We were all helpless. We were unable to save ourselves. We were under the sentence of sin. Sin tells us you'll never change. It says you'll always be this way. It says you'll always be bound by this or that or these thoughts or that thoughts or this past or that past. And it says you'll always belong to the past. That's what sin does. Sin becomes, it becomes a heavy, wet blanket that you carry for the entirety of your life. And many people feel as if they can never escape the weight or the confines of sin. They feel like they're always beholden to it. I just talked to someone last week and I heard one of the same answers that I hear all the time when I made an invitation to come and join us on Easter Sunday. Oh, if I go in, the roof will fall in. And I said what I always say. There's a whole church full of people that have made that same comment. Why? Because the weight of sin, it causes us to look at ourselves differently from the way God looks at us. And we are, of all men, most critical of ourselves. When you get on social media and you see the people that are out there that make it their mission to call out every criminal and every crime in the world, that's because they hate themselves. Because the way you view yourself is the way you will view the world around you. That's what sin does. That is the ugly of sin. It taints our ability to have an outlook in life. It stains our view of humanity. But Jesus As I have told our church often, he looks beyond the stain of sin when he looks into our lives. If he does not, then he'll look at us the way the rest of the world does. And so sin has a hold that is so difficult for people to escape. But the cross, what happened was it interrupted the sentence of sin. It interrupted it. It put everything on hold. What was once final now became up in the air. What was once people thought they were doomed, if you want to use that word, now it creates an avenue. It creates a way of escape. You see, the cross is not just an image that we put up on Easter Sunday. It's not just a story that we tell our kids, but the cross had a stop sign on top. And it said, without ever speaking a word, this is where sin stops. This is where it stops. The cross, it interrupted the sentence, and because the wages of sin is death. And so in 1 Corinthians 5:54, it reads this way: death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? 1 Corinthians 15:56. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So what the cross does is it put a hold. It put a stay on the sentence of sin. What the cross did is it took what was once final, what was absolute, what was unchangeable, and it stopped all of it in its tracks, and it changed the course of history. Hebrews 2:14, it also says, and I'm in the end of the text, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, which is the devil. And so it was through Christ's sacrifice at Calvary that he destroyed the power of death, the finality of death. That's why the scripture teaches us about a first and a second death. The first death is your natural death. The second death is your spiritual death. Those are things that were dealt with at the cross. And so the cross is not just a place where Jesus died. It's the place where the finality of sin stopped. You see, you have to understand and believe that you're a sinner for that comment to mean anything to you. You have to believe that without, some people have a hard time calling themselves a sinner because they feel it's a stain or it's an unjust title that is levied upon somebody, but it's a reality. It's just I have a saying. And this year, it seems like I say it about every day. And somebody will call me with bad news, and I would just say, well, it is what it is. They'll call me and tell me that it is what it is. They could call me tomorrow and say, well, the Lord's coming. I'll say, it is what it is. They could tell me, I could get the news bleep, and it says, well, they just started launching nuclear weapons to each other. I would just say, well, it is what it is. Why? Because there's some things you can't control. But ignoring the reality of things also does not change the reality. See, our job as preachers and our mission as a church is not just to make people feel good, but to help us understand who we are by nature. So we understand the power of the cross. So we understand exactly what transpired at Calvary. So we understand exactly what happened when Jesus rose from the grave. And so I don't know about you, but I'm thankful to know who I am and who I was. Because the longer I have served God, the farther he has taken me from my past. It's not a past that I'll deny. It's not a past that I will pretend it does not exist. It existed. It was a reality. But when I look now and I see who I was undeniably, I see the power of the cross and how it has a place in my life. And so the finality of sin stopped in its tracks at the cross. At the cross, guilt loses its voice in our lives. At the cross, shame loses its grip upon our lives. At the cross, sin loses its power. Hell loses its claim. And hopeless people finally discover there is a way out. There is a way of escape. Now, I don't know if you are one of those people that you love to just jump on and see every negative thing in the world on the news and in social media. For the life of me, it hasn't been that long, but I wonder sometimes, why did they create social media? Just to depress everybody and to put everybody on some form of anti-anxiety pill? Because what we read is just that depressed. If it's not depressing news, it's just people attacking each other. People attacking what's going on. People pretending as if they know the inner workings of certain governmental structures and just attacking every single thing that you do, no matter how good or how. It's just all negative. If you want to be depressed, just get on social media. It's all you have to do. About a year and a half ago, I reached my point. I said, I can't do it anymore. I cannot get on these community websites or these community social media sites that really should just be called Stop Here for Gossip and to be Depressed or to be Attacked. That's what they should call those pages. And so I decided, I can't do it anymore. And I'll tell you why. I said, because I did not want to wake up every day and listen to somebody's gossip, somebody's mantra, somebody's rant, somebody's rave, somebody attacking another person. And so I decided I've got to distance myself. You know why? I'll tell you, because I don't want to be depressed. I don't want to be discouraged. I want to enjoy what I have left. You say, well, my God, Pastor, haven't you looked in the news? There's war everywhere. Listen, I can't change it. It is what it is. But I'll tell you what I can do. I can focus on today. And I can focus on my home. And I can focus on my, listen, and I can decide God can give me peace in every storm. And I'm not going to live a life that robs me of every moment of peace and joy that God wants to give me. I'm not, and so what am I saying to you? I'm saying it's a good thing to understand who you are and where you can be because of the cross. It's a good thing to understand how ugly the world is, but how beautiful it can be in the same breath when the Lord Jesus Christ is the center of your life. It's a beautiful thing to understand that you can work yourself to death, but in the end, we're all going to stand before God as our judge, and he's going to look at us and say, what did you do with your life? It's a good thing to understand that you can buy happiness. It's temporary. It expires really fast. But joy, inherent, internal joy, is only something that the Holy Ghost can put inside of you. The Bible calls it peace, righteousness, and joy in the Holy Ghost. In the Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Ghost is joy. And you know, and let me explain to you what joy is. Joy is when the world can be burning around you and you can come into the house of God and worship the Lord. And not let it rob you of the moment. Not let it rob you of the peace that God can give you despite all of it. That's the difference. And so, at the cross, I'm convinced there was a stop sign. And Jesus told hell, this is where your reign ends. We're not beholden to the things of this world. This is where it stops. He says, this is where your rule stops, Satan. This is where condemnation stops. Not a small thing. We live in a world that live under the weight of condemnation. People, hey, listen, I know it's Easter, but can I just be me just for a moment? I've had people make comments, nasty comments. We've had registered sex offenders in our church for years. Oh my God. Well, where would you like them to go? Would you like them to be out there in a world with nowhere to go, no hope to have, to destroy their life just a little further? Would you like them to have an opportunity? Now listen, the difference is they're probably in about, and I would say to any church, if you don't have someone like that in your church, you're probably not doing your job. I didn't say they teach Sunday school. I didn't say they plan children's events, but I say they are welcome here. Do you know why? Because condemnation stops at that cross for everybody. Your sin might not be that sin, but it may be the sin of abusing your family, belittling your wife, stealing from people in a legal way, kind of like the politician stuff or the things we do at our jobs when you kind of scam. I'm just kind of talking for a second. I just believe that condemnation for everybody ends at the cross. And I'm not ashamed to say it. And I've told some of those, I said, I will stand behind you until Jesus comes, as long as you do everything right and you do what's asked of you and you don't cross lines, I will stand with you. And will I get beat up for it? I do, and I have. But that's all right, because condemnation stops at that cross for everybody. Guilt and shame, it ends at the cross. It ends at the cross. And people, there's too many people in this life that are walking around under the weight, the heavy weight of their shame. And you know what that outcome looks like? Suicide. Drug addiction. Why? Because they feel they have no hope. I refuse to call myself a preacher and not tell anybody that there's still hope. I refuse to stand behind a pulpit and not let the world know there is hope as long as there's a cross. It doesn't matter what level of sin you have engaged in. God can bring you out if you believe in the power of the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ. I will not be that preacher that's bound by political correctness. Every sin stops at that cross. If you want it to. If you want it to, that's where it stops. Why? Listen, we can't complain about the drug epidemic and blame the cartels. The cartels have nothing to do with depression. In America, I'm going to just preach for a second. In America, we have created the perfect storm. We have made it so where people are looking to those. Listen, there's cartels, and they're flooding drugs probably across this board this very moment. But guess what? I'm not beholden to it. You see, there has to be a need in order to feed their business. Only Jesus Christ and the cross can take away the need. Where somebody then is able to hold their head up high because where they were once hopeless, they now have hope. Because they realize, I'm not happy about who I was in my former life, but I understood that my sin ended at that cross. And now I don't have to look somewhere else to drown out my fear or my depression or anything of that nature.
I think I lost you about 10 minutes ago.
Pain and suffering. Something else you see on social media all the time. I wonder, why do we get on social media to be depressed? You know, if it's not about pain or suffering, it's a story about John and Jane and how they took a drive down the street and they drove past the house where they raised their kids out. And now all their kids are gone. And they got this soft music playing. You know, the same one they play when the puppy's out on the street living in the rain. That same soft music. I don't know how you bring those two together, but they do it anyway. And he drives down the street, and they start to think about the memories and when they're pushing the kids on the swing. And I'm like, my God, don't you understand? That's about where I'm at right now. You are depressing me to high heaven. I don't. So it doesn't matter what you, it's all garbage. It's all just depresses you. I don't want to live that way. My wife, you know there's something wrong with me when she starts quoting scripture at me. Pain, though, suffering, loss, it's everywhere. There are people today suffering with cancer. There are people today in the hospital. They might not know if they'll make it out of surgery. There are people today who lost loved ones. This is my first Easter without my mom. It's a hard thing to process. There are people today that are ready to lose loved ones. There are people today that are dealing with trauma. There are people whose families have walked out on them. There are kids who are being raised all over this globe without any stability, any certainty whatsoever, and their nerves can't handle it. There's a reason why anxiety has been on the rise for a long time. Why would we not want to understand that it all can come to a dead stop at that cross? Chains of addiction can end right there at that cross. If you will stop at the cross, sin and its hold will stop in your life. It all met its end at Calvary. Revelations 22 and 17, it says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Whosoever will. Come, he said, come, come, come. And so I would say to you today, who needs salvation? Not that does not end at a sinner's prayer. It does not. It does not. Can I just be honest with you for a moment? Listen to me. You can call me up, say, Pastor, come to my house. I got to show you scripture, and I'm going to show you where you're wrong, and I'm going to be right there as long as you give me a cup of hot tea with honey. That's all I ask for. But listen to me. Never in the Bible was there a sinner prayer prayed. Never. Never in the Bible was there a sinner's prayer prayed. Listen to me. I know that really upends some people's foundation, but I'm saying that's not the preacher talking. I'm just echoing what's in the Word. I didn't say you shouldn't pray a sinner's prayer. But what I did say is Jesus said you must be born again. That's what he said. Why? Well, I cannot fully escape the confines of my old life until it gives me a brand new life. So I would say to you, because you won't ever act unless you can be honest with yourself, who needs salvation? Who does not want to be lost? Nobody would say they want to be lost. Nobody would. Nobody would say they want to be lost. But according to the scripture, the amount of those that will be lost increases in the last days. Hell hath enlarged herself beyond measure. I can't preach about a cross until I can preach about the other side of the cross. That doesn't do the cross justice. And so the spirit of the bride says, come, let him hear, say, come, let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Whosoever will. Doesn't matter what walk of life you come from. It doesn't matter where you've come from. It does not matter your background. This is not the Cleveland Brown Stadium where you got to pay for the loge and all the rich and famous people sit there. This is not Hollywood where you can drive down and see all the mansions of all the elite in life. No, he said, whosoever will. God doesn't pick favors. He doesn't say, you got more money, you come first. He said, whosoever will come. It's important that people understand they have a way of escape. And Jesus said, if you want to come, come. Come. There's no prerequisite. There's no requirement. He said, come. Come. And so, who doesn't want to be lost? That's a rhetorical question. Who wants the promises of the eternal presence of God? I do. I wasn't born in this. Every single faith on earth sells a message of eternal promise. It may be 100 virgins in paradise. Blow yourself up and you will obtain it all. I'm glad the cross does not require me to put a bomb around my waist and to go into somebody else's home that I hate, thinking that I can have paradise that way. Samson killed more Philistines in his death than he did his life. That's not a celebration. That's a tragedy. Because it's one thing to fulfill your mission. It's another to let vengeance and revenge drive you into your grave. But every faith sells this message of eternal promise. It could be also we're living in paradise at this very moment. I heard someone tell me that once, and I looked at them and I said, you're telling me that this life now is paradise? Have you seen how many people are raped and murdered every year across the globe? That's your idea of paradise. I'm just me, folks. I couldn't grasp it. Or as we ourselves believe, as the Word of God says, Jesus said you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. That's why we have baptismal tanks. I know they have become a pastime in many churches. I know it's become an annual festivity. We'll do our baptisms at December 1st every year. But he said you must be born of the water and of the Spirit, or you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Listen to me. I don't even know if you gave in the offering today. And I don't care. I'm only preaching to you the word as it is. Why? Because there's nothing more important than people being ready for the Lord. That's it. It's all that matters. And so the difference is we have a Savior who had a cross so that we could have a place where the confines of life come to a stop. The cross, no matter how powerful, only works for those that will stop at the cross. You come play for me, honey. I need your help. Have you ever known anybody that's ran a stop sign and which caused an accident? There's tragedy normally that happens when you don't stop at the stop sign. And so the cross, it only works for those that will stop at the cross. It's the only way it works, because it has to be wanted. It has to be desired. Are you with me? Some people pass by the cross. Some people admire the cross. Some people talk about it. Some people hang it about their neck. But not everybody stops at it. When you stop at the cross, the old man stops right there. The person I was before I ever came to the Lord, that person died at that cross. And at that cross, a new person was born. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. See, the old man has to die before the new man can be born. When you stop at the cross, guilt stops there with you. When you stop at the cross, running from the Lord, it ends there. When you stop at the cross, hiding, as Adam and Eve did when they tried to hide themselves, it ends there. Chains end at the cross. Chains of what? Fear, anxiety, depression, discouragement, emptiness, loneliness, addiction. People, listen, if you can't give me anything else up to this point, just give me this. People all over our world are scrambling. They're looking for things to buy. They're looking for places to go. They're looking for something to give them some form of hope, some form of escape from this life. The world is desperate for it. That's why, if I can be honest, we'll complain about the $4 in gas a gallon, but we won't stop driving. We'll complain that the cruise ships are going to add surcharges on for fuel now, but we won't stop buying the tickets. We'll complain that inflation has just continued to explode for the last 3, 4, 5 years, but we'll still spend the money. You know why? Because we're all looking for something that can give us an escape from this life. We're all looking for something that can give me a little peace because I'm tired of being vexed. I'm tired of hurting. I'm tired of going to bed crying at night. I'm tired of being lonely. I'm tired of being empty. Those are chains, and they all stop at the cross. The cross is where surrender begins. Now, you have an index card at your seat. I'll tell you what to do with that card in just a moment. In a few minutes, I'll end. We'll dismiss at some point. And you have the option of just leaving and maybe going back to the same life. Or you have the option of reevaluating yourself. Even if you serve God now, even if you're a Christian, sometimes we Christians have to reevaluate ourselves. Because the Bible also says that many will be deceived in the last days. Many will be deceived. Many, many. It says the love of many will wax cold. Why? Because that's what life does. It just wears you out. It wears you down. It wears you out. It wears you down. Matthew 11 and 28, it's my last text. Madeline, where are you at? Come on up here, girl. Get you and your dad ready. You guys rock that song. Here's what Matthew 11, 28 says. Now listen to me, if you would. Can I give you a disclaimer really quick? Our church, they love me. Some days I can't figure out why they stick around. I'm being honest. But they do. But they don't. When we have prayer in my office, they don't say, all right, pastor, you preach it hard and real, and we'll give you a bonus after church. They don't say, if you preach certain things or certain ways, we'll make sure we talk about raising your rent. They don't do that. What I'm saying is, I love people. I want every person, from the banker to the sex offender, to go to heaven. That's what the cross is about. It's about every person having a way of escape. But you got to stop at the cross. It cannot just become something you look at out your window. And so Matthew 11, 28, it says, come unto me. He didn't say, I'll come unto you. He said, come unto me. Watch. All ye that labor. Now that word, it means being fatigued or wearied. Years ago, my bishop gave me a book and he says, you got to read this book. And so I did. And I'll be honest with you. In school, I was a reader. I read every book you can imagine, probably because I didn't want to work. That was reflected in my grades. I'm just being honest. So I read this book. It was titled Leading on Empty. And it was a really fascinating book. And the book explained how when we just work, and then your body goes into overdrive. And then it begins to dig into resources that are used. It's almost like an auxiliary on your fuel tank. But when that runs out, there's only one other option. It's called Red Bull. Our world's drinking themselves into the grave. And it's not beer and alcohol. It's Red Bull. It's energy drinks. You know what that is? That is false energy. You know what happens? In the end, we wind up with a world that is fatigued, a world that is drained. I have all the respect in the world for people that work hard. I genuinely do. Trust me, because you look around you, and sometimes you see women going to work while their boyfriend stays home and plays video games. Mm-mm. I got a problem with that. And so does Jesus. But for the most part, people work hard. But you know what happens when you do? You just get drained. You get fatigued. Sometimes you drag yourself in bed at night, don't even change your clothes, you fall into bed and you pass out. Seems noble on the surface. But the Lord never wanted us to get to that place. And so he said, come unto me, all you who are heavy laden, all you who are fatigued or wearied. And he said, labor and are heavy laden. Heavy laden means overburdened. And you know what else it means? Anxiety. Come unto me, all you that are fatigued, wearied, overburdened, and feel anxious. And here's what he said. I will give you rest. The world at large does not believe that there's an answer to our problems. But I believe, can you bring that over here? I believe with all of my heart, not this piece of wood, not this prop, this illustration, but I believe what took place 2,026 years ago on a hill called Golgotha, I believe this is where it stops. I really believe it. I believe I come to this cross. See, Jesus' life, my buddy over here, he's not worried about one thing I'm preaching. He's trying to suck on this octopus-looking thing there. Now he knows I'm preaching about him. He's upset. He's staring at me. And he's back to opening his mouth, trying to... I get that from the church sometimes when I preach, too. But I really, with all of my heart, having been raised in a dysfunctional, abusive environment, believe this is where it stops. My real dad was an alcoholic. He left my brother and I in a bar in Pennsylvania. He was so drunk, we wound up in foster homes. And then years later, I tried for years to track him down. I wanted to see what he looked like, at least, you know. And called up some of my old foster parents. And I'll hook you. They never did. And then one day I get a phone call in 2000 and I don't know, I think 2004. And it was his sister. And she said, I just want to let you know your dad died. She said, but he left you his house. I don't know. I was, 2004, 32, 33. I don't know. I thought, wow, okay, well, at least I got something out of this crummy deal. I make the five-hour trip down to Johnstown. I walk up to the door with a big yellow condemned sign on the door. I thought, well, let's go in and check it out. So I opened it up. I walked in, and as God is my witness, the moment I walked in the door, my leg was just covered with fleas. I mean, covered. I walk through the house. I get to the living room, and trash is piled up. There's no couch visible. Garbage piled up this high, 3 feet in the living room. The kitchen, filth, garbage everywhere. The basement, I walk down there, and you couldn't step without stepping in dog feces. I go upstairs, no beds. The room's filled with trash, and this is, I don't know if Amazon was running back in 2004 or so. I don't know where he got all the stuff. There's just boxes of stuff he'd buy everywhere. What's my point? He died an alcoholic. Probably buying all that stuff. It was a big waste of my time and money. Cost me money. What a blessing. That's the inheritance you get from this world. But somewhere along the line, I thought, let me make a stop at this cross. Let's just see if it can take this angry young man that has a big void in his life, that's always wanted somebody to be a father figure to him. I'd warm up to managers at work. I warmed up to people. I mean, I warmed up to any guy I could, just trying to find somebody. You can't replace that. God put the marriage as man and woman in the home for a reason. And so here I am, 53 years old. I am about, I don't know, give me a second here, 50 years removed from that incident in the bar. And I found out when I stopped at this cross, it could fix anything. And it could fix anybody. It could mend any heart. I know you might not feel like you can escape your past, but you can. If you'll stop at this cross over, if you'll make it a habit of making a stop there at least once a week or every other day or something, and don't just let this be a religious pit stop for you, but let it become a part of your life. And you understand the cross fills voids, and the cross mends broken hearts, and the cross does fix marriages, and the cross does break the chains of addiction, and the cross does fill empty voids, and the cross does heal the body, and the cross heals the mind, and the cross heals relationships. The cross does it all, but you'll never understand the value of the cross unless you understand the weight of sin. And so he said, come. If you're fatigued, if you're wearied, if you're overburdened, if you feel anxious, he said, come. Come, come, come. And so here's what I would like to invite you to do as I try and bring this to a close. I would like you to take that index card, and before you leave today, you can do it at your own leisure. They've got some push pins somewhere around here. Maybe you put a table there beside the cross. I'd like you to either write your name, write your fear. And remember, I know sometimes we feel, if you don't write your name, nobody will know what is yours. Don't worry about that. And I want to invite you in a few moments to come. And stop at the cross before you go. It's a prop, I know, but it's the symbolism of it. And I want to invite you to grab a push pin, take that index card. If you need a pen, you can raise your hand and they'll bring one to you. And just take that index card and push it in there and just leave it there. Guys, if you could look, there's some hands that are going up for pens. Listen, I'm trying to finish. I believe with all my heart this gospel message. I believe it. I believe it. I have been a recipient of it. I made a stop, and I found something at that cross. I found something I've not been able to duplicate in the world. I haven't been able to buy on Amazon. I haven't even been able to find going on a good vacation. Because you know what happens when you go on a good vacation? You're coming back to the same life. You say, well, I'll just move there. Haven't you read? Haven't you watched the news? Some of the most famous tourist destinations in the world, they're having terrorist attacks, people are getting kidnapped, they're dying. You can't escape this world, but you can make a stop at this cross. And when you do, when you understand the value of it, when you understand that it's here, when Jesus went to that cross, he only rose because he died. This right here is where it stops. If you believe that, I want you to take that card and write something down on it. Come on, don't think it's just a silly thing. It's not just a silly thing. He said, come. Come. I'm inviting you. You might want to just put your name on it. Pray for me. We'll leave it there. We'll pray. We have Friday night prayer here. We'll pray for it. We'll call your name out. We'll call your family out. And we'll believe. You say, well, I've tried it. Maybe something's off. Maybe something's amiss. I don't know. Would you stand with me? What I'd like to do is while they sing this song, I want to give you an opportunity to write something down in that card. Now listen to me. Can I close this way? Someday soon I'm going to preach a message in this church. I'm going to talk about all the great men and women of the Bible. All of them did some of the greatest things in the world. Things that we have been reading for thousands of years, and they're all deceased. Because the reality is, every person in this building will leave this life. And when we do, we will stand before God one day, not as a tyrant, but he will sit as a judge. And all I want to do is hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Not attendee. When you understand the power of this cross, you give your life to the Lord. And you know that through God, all things are possible. I believe that. I don't say that idly. I believe it. I believe the worst of the worst can pray through and God can change their life. I believe it. I believe it. You cannot let vengeance want to cause you to keep people held hostage, because it will only hold you hostage. Vengeance doesn't, because, listen, I know you're not going to believe this, and I'm trying to stop. I know you're not going to believe it, but there are people out there that don't like me. I'm being honest, I have a hard time understanding it. I think I'm a nice guy. I'd do anything for you. But people don't like you because of personality conflicts. They don't like you because you disagree with them. And there are people that don't like me because I believe the worst of the worst have the opportunity to stop at the cross just as much as the best of the best do. And that if that's what I got, the burden I got to bear, then I'll bear it. What I'm saying is this. Let me be your friend for 1 second and just remind you, so I don't have to stand before God and be accountable one day. We will all stand before him. He will be the judge. You say, you're trying to scare me. So does the government when they tell you 35 miles an hour on the gravel road. They're trying to let you know, too fast, you can die. I don't want people to be lost. I don't want people to be lost. I want everybody to know you can stop at the cross. So, would you sing that song? And while you sing it, fill your card out. And here's how we'll dismiss. You can come here and pray. You can just walk up, grab a push pin, and stick your card in there, and you can leave if you'd like. We don't want you to stay any longer than you have to. But we want to give God a chance to work on our hearts. Would you do that? Go ahead and sing. Some people are folding those cards over. That's fine. Do that. We value your privacy, I promise you. We get a few more of our singers up here just for a couple minutes, sing with them. When you come up here, say to yourself, it stops right here. The Lord has given me the door. He has given me the opportunity. This is where it stops right now. This is where it stops. I believe that with all of my heart. Amen. Brother K.O., I'd like you to come up here wherever you are and pray while they sing. You keep singing. Just pray over us if you would.
Jesus, we're so thankful to be here today on this Easter Sunday. We're so thankful, Lord, that you went to the cross, Lord, and that you were wounded for us and you shed your blood for us, Jesus, and that we have room at the cross, God, that we are able to go to the cross. It's not too small, Lord. Anybody and everybody, Lord, has the ability to go to the cross, Lord, and to lay their burdens down. Jesus, and help us today to lay our burdens down, God. That sin that does so easily beset us from the glory of God, help us to lay it at your feet, God, and that you would give us the strength, that you would give us peace and hope, Lord. The peace and hope that we cannot gain on our own, but we need your strength and we need your ability, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, let today be a new day in our lives. Let today be a new day, a new moving forward, God, in our lives, Jesus. That we've laid down our sins today, Lord, and we will pick up, hallelujah, our cross and follow after you in the name of Jesus. Saramando reyataye, viaranandorubuki adonai yandorobo shiatayandorobo. Lord, we're not going to pick up those old habits. We're not going to pick up the thing in which we lay down. Today, Lord, is the day of salvation. Today, Lord, is the day that we are moving forward in Jesus' name. God, today I make a commitment to you. Today, Lord, I make a commitment to you to continue in your word, to continue in your grace. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, let your love overshadow each and every person here today. Let the love of God fill every individual up in this place, Lord. Let them know what it feels like to be free. Once your spirit touches them, your love touches them, God, we're set free in Jesus' name.
Stood in awe. It's time.